Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Imagine getting the chance to meet 51 of the world's wisest elders and asking them the secrets to success and happiness, the keys to living. Sounds like the opportunity of a lifetime, really, doesn't it? That's exactly what photographer and filmmaker Andrew Zuckerman got to do for the making of a fascinating book called Wisdom. It's a set of revealing portraits and interviews with some of the most recognisable names of our time. Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Madeleine Albright, Henry Kissinger, Ravi Shankar, Buzz Aldrin, Billy Connolly, so many more. Andrew Zuckerman has been in Australia this week to promote the book. It was launched in Sydney last night and he joins us now. Andrew, welcome to Open House.
Thank you for having me.
Think of this little quote you got from Desmond Tutu on the back cover. One of the greatest gifts we can give to another generation is our experience, our wisdom, which really has driven this project, both the book and also the film.
Absolutely. I think wisdom is sort of a categorically undefinable term. You know, when we set out, I didn't really understand what the word even meant. I remember looking it up in the dictionary and it saying knowledge or good judgment, I believe. At the end of the day, I think what I learned most from doing the project is that wisdom is sort of a collective of experiences or a group of people who can share what they've learned through their experiences.
Mm. Gathering those lessons from the elders that can be passed down. And it's interesting that everybody in the book is over 65. And I think that's part of the quality, isn't it? Is that we're not kind of turning our backs on our elders, so to speak. We're actually saying there's something to be learnt here. Let's not be pompous little upstarts and say, well, we've got to rewrite all the rules.
Exactly. I think that, you know, especially in the United States where I come from, we tend to be very obsessed with youth culture. But at the same time, we're always looking for answers. And it seems to be that we're looking for them in the wrong places. We have an incredible group of elders in our world right now that have seen extraordinary things in their lifetime, and I think we can all do with hearing a bit of what they think and what they've concluded.
Now, how did you actually attract such high-profile people to participate in the project in the first place?
I was incredibly lucky to have a collaboration with Archbishop Tutu, who was very gracious in writing letters to these contributors for me. And I don't think they would necessarily have answered a letter from me or known who I was. So having a letter sent from Tutu was really how it got done.
Yeah. Now, how did the connection with Desmond Tutu come about for you?
Through my publisher, who I've done previous books with. He had met Archbishop Tutu, I believe, on a previous project, the Mandela biography that he put out last year.
It's a pretty all right little connection you have made there, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think the project could have been started as easily. It was interesting. Once we had already gotten going and had done 10 or 15 of the individuals, it was a mix of both Tutu's letter and them seeing where we were at on the project that convinced people to be a part of it. But yeah, Certainly to get it going, a letter from Tutu was how it happened.
Yes. Your particular photographic style is very stark, kind of almost warts and all kind of portraits on this particular project there. You've got the white backdrop and basically you shoot people as they are. I noticed that Nelson Mandela actually still has his hearing aid in. Tell me a little bit about your philosophy of photography.
Well, it's much like Chuck Close's with painting. It was interesting to have him in the project, where basically all the information in a mugshot is what I'm interested in. You know, I'm not really attracted to nostalgia or romanticizing a subject. I'm interested in portraying their essence and showing who they really are. I think that oftentimes photography has served to be this aspirational tool where, in fact, I think it can be much more powerful when it equalizes us and shows all of us how human beings are very much more the same than different.
And I believe you developed the style by coming across a dead bird lying in pure white snow.
Yeah. That was in my previous project called Creature. Yeah, you know, I realized that by taking a subject out of its environment, in that case, coming across this bird on the white snow and photographing it, I think what you can do is actually look at the subject itself rather than seeing its relationship to its environment. I think we're used to seeing portraits of, you know, leaders against their bookshelf or at, you know, a state house. But
it's true.
Seeing them on white sort of democratizes them.
Yes. Andrew Zuckerman is with us, photographer and filmmaker. He's created this new project called Wisdom, beautifully produced book and also a film. This is The Open House, and theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast. So, Andrew, let's talk about some of the things that you discovered from these folks. It was interesting that some of the common themes that seemed to come out very much about personal character. Nelson Mandela says peace is the greatest weapon for development. Desmond Tutu in Giving You Receive. Chris Christopherson says the heart and compassion are what really matters most of all. What other big themes did you see kind of starting to weave their way through these 51 people that you interviewed?
That hard work is basically what it's all about. I think that one of the things that joins this group together is that all of them have been incredibly dedicated to their lives, their craft, and the world in which they live in. They're incredibly curious people, and I think their curiosity has drawn them towards their experiences. I basically had broken down what I was interested in into four themes: love, work, the environment, and conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to hear everyone's opinions on them. The book also comes with a film, and the purpose of the film was to sort of weave their perspectives together. Sometimes they would completely disagree with each other, and sometimes they would sort of support each other's thoughts. But what happened was it became this big conversation with each other about these four themes.
Now, why those four themes? Interesting choice. Love, work, environment, and conflict resolution.
Because I think they're things that we all deal with. You know, one of the important aspects for me about the project was that it wasn't about, you know, bios of these people or talking about all the great achievements they've had. Sometimes they're anecdotal, personal stories, but they're there to explain something. They're there to describe a conclusion that they've come to based on their experiences. For me, I thought that breaking it down to these four themes are four things that no matter where you are in life, who you are, what culture you come from, these are four things that you deal with on a regular basis.
I haven't read every single one. It's a very, very large book, but I was very interested to see that Judi Dench is a Quaker. When it comes to the religious or the spiritual side of people, was there anything that surprised you there with these interviews you did?
Surprised me? Not really. I mean, the world's filled with all kinds of people with all sorts of faith sets, right? But I thought that it was interesting that certain people had an affinity towards religion and certain people didn't. You know, these are not all a religious group of people or all a group of people that believe in one faith or even faith at all. Mm. What I found interesting is that the world is filled with all sorts of people, and, you know, many people have religion and don't in their lives.
Mm. Was it a specific line of questioning for you as to hear about their spiritual commitments?
No, I tended to not be as interested in their religion specifically. That's something maybe they've subscribed to, but I was more interested in something that could really be about everyone.
Right.
Sometimes religion can leave certain people out.
Yeah, because of course, you know, the history of wisdom often goes back, though, to a religious base. You think about the Bible with the Proverbs and the Psalms, which are kind of wisdom literature. There's similar kinds of literature in other religions as well. So often it does go back to some sort of religious base. That's simply why I asked the question.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very true, and I think that religion has served as some sort of structure for society, certainly the ethics and morals and the rule sets. I was more interested in this idea of the global village and the global elders. I think, you know, classically you were in a village and the elders would speak down to the people, to the younger youth in their tribe, and they would pass on the things they've learned, but that wisdom would stay within that space. I was interested in this idea of worldhood, this idea that we're all so interconnected. I mean, look at the financial crisis. You know, America sneezed and everyone got a cold. It was this ridiculous thing that happened, and it shows us how connected we all are. And I thought, well, we should have this connected group of our elders to speak to us, the global village.
Yes. We're talking about you being an interviewer, but I believe this was actually the first time you'd stepped into that role. You're a photographer, you're a filmmaker, and I believe you had some tips from Michael Parkinson, who's also in the book.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. He was the first person that I interviewed, which, you know, how ironic, right?
Yeah.
The guy that sort of developed television interviewing. I was quite nervous, actually, before I met with him, and he walked in and I just said, you know, I've never interviewed anyone before, so please be nice to me. Teach me how to interview, and he did. He's an incredibly generous man.
Yeah, what did he teach you?
He just kind of taught me about being honest and about being truly interested, and I think one of the things that stuck with me most that he said was, the best interview is simply a conversation.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I think the thing that somebody like Michael Parkinson has, he hasn't got eloquence. I mean, if you actually watch him in his TV interviews, he's very and ah, you know, what do you think about so-and-so? You know, he's not very eloquent, but he's got amazing rapport.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things that really struck me about him is that he's not trying to outwit the subject that he's interviewing. He's not trying to be smarter. I mean, many, especially television personalities, it's sort of all about them. I know that I've done a lot of television in the past, and the presenter said to me, don't worry about anything, it's all about me, just, you know, I'll take you through this, which is how it usually kind of works these days. And the thing about Michael Parkinson is he's truly curious. He's truly interested in the people that he's meeting. Yes. He feels lucky to meet those people. And I think that that comes across in his style.
Yes, curiosity. And it must be what drives you personally, too, though, to actually do this.
Yeah, I mean, it takes... You got to really want to do it if you're going to be on airplanes and trains and cars and leave your family and leave your business and watch it fall apart while you go away for a year to make a project like this.
Mm.
So you got to really, really want to do it. And you have to really be driven by the question of, you know, what will happen if...
Yeah.
And so the curiosity definitely drives what I do.
Yeah. Andrew, you're 31, I believe, and we've talked before about the fact that the 51 people you've included in this book and film projects are actually over the age of 65. Tell me about a time where you walked out of an interview and you said, wow, okay, that's a bit of wisdom I'm taking away with me for the rest of my life.
To be honest, I think it happened on every single one. I'd be happy to pull up any sort of specific ones. There wasn't one interview that was sort of underwhelming in this whole project.
Mm.
If there had been, I don't think it would have made it in. But there were some specific experiences that were really incredible for me. Graham Nash had an enormous wealth of knowledge, and he was incredibly generous. One of the things that I loved that he said that sort of relates to what we're talking about is, you know, there's a million things that I can do with my creative energy, and if I ever feel that one particular part of my energy is not awake, you know, awake today, then I'll use another part of my energy. So I've never had writer's block, because if I ever thought that I don't want to write today and I'm just not in the mood, I'll do something else.
Hmm.
One of the questions that I asked him specifically was, how do you deal with these sort of creative ebbs and flows?
Hmm.
A huge fear with me is, you know, what if the ideas run out?
Yes.
What am I going to do? And it was great to sort of hear this lackadaisical answer of, well, I just do something else, and then I never atrophy. And I think that, you know, many people followed that up with interesting perspectives. You know, Andrew Wyeth talking about, you know, paint anything. Chuck Close saying, inspiration is for amateurs, the rest of us just get to work. This idea of sort of just doing and doing and doing. And Mary Quant, the more you do, you do. So.
Yeah. Well, I wonder whether a book and a film project like this might just help us to take what you've done as an art form and actually bring it back into everyday life and actually stop running around and as young people, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, actually taking the time to sit down with our elders and have a listen.
It was an amazing experience for me.
Well, fascinating to talk to you. Just briefly before we go, for the tech heads amongst us, what kind of photography gear are you using?
You mean what kind of camera?
Yeah.
I have a Hasselblad camera.
Yes.
And I use a digital back called a Leaf back. I believe they're made in Sweden. It's like 35 megapixels, so that's sort of how I get the clarity in my work.
Yes.
And just lots and lots of light. More light, the better.
Wow, some beautiful work that's actually been produced. Thanks so much for your time, Andrew. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Andrew Zuckerman there, photographer, filmmaker, creator of the book, photo, film project called Wisdom.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.